Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, dungeon, dun, dungeon,
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 dungeon, dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun, dun.
We're here, we're Supreme Crit Justices Murphy, Axford, Tanner, as well as the lovely Bailiff Jake.
Lovely.
The lovely.
Wow. Ooh, are we going to be tender and nice
lovely.
With Jake today?
We can be tender and nice to him.
Let's be a little cute.
Jake, what do you want?
I mean, I like the mix. I like a
you,
mix.
You want it like...
I like never knowing
both?
What's coming.
Yeah. All right. That lovely piece of shit, Jake.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, that big shiny peach with a rotten pit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The salty and the sweet on the peach.
Let's get it kicked off right away, Bailiff. Mm-hmm. Why don't you take us to our first case?
Gladly. Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Ooh. Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. Our first case comes from Master of Merc.
Ooh.
May it please the court and Tucker, who has hopefully taken over bailiff duties by now.
Oh.
I am still kicking.
The second we unleashed Tucker's beautiful voice on our podcast ears, like
we'd all be out of a job. No,
we'd all be out of jobs.
You like, don't want that.
Who's Jill gonna hang out with
voice.
During the long recording
rights? Exactly. How do you think they met?
Yeah.
In a 5e campaign, I play a halfling bard, and my husband is playing a Goliath barbarian. We're going for a rocket raccoon Groot thing. I worked on rules with my DM, and we came to an agreement that included rules for when I'm standing on my husband's shoulders in battle, including a rule stating that when I'm ducked behind his shoulders, I get the benefits of half cover.
Mm.
We get into a fight with werewolves, and my husband was knocked prone. My DM attacked me and hit my AC, but not my AC in half cover. My DM said, because the barbarian was prone, my half cover was gone. I contended that he was prone, not me, and I'd be able to scramble around. I was overruled, and I took the hit, nearly killing my level 2 bard. Oh, wise and honored court, was I given a deserved beating, or did I get fragged? I submit to your wise judgment.
I feel like the word contend makes you seem smarter than you are.
I contend! Sir, I contend!
I think I side with the DM. Like, literally, if someone's standing up, and then they're... It doesn't matter how tall you are. Prone is prone. Everyone's the same height.
Prone's prone.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that the DM could have even made the argument that, okay, if you're going to hide behind the person who's down, A, that does damage to you as they land on you and crush you, or B, fine, I'll just attack the downed guy who is now going to be... Oh, I guess he was knocked prone. He wasn't killed. He wasn't knocked
prone.
Down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they on the Goliath's shoulders when they were knocked prone?
It sounds like it. Yeah, they were standing on their husband's shoulders in battle.
If you want to be really lenient as a DM, maybe you give them like a luck check to see if they like land directly behind them. So it's almost like you're like hiding behind a log
or
something.
But even then, when you get crushed...
Maybe, yeah.
Wouldn't Groot freaking crush that little talking raccoon?
And then you, because we're not talking about baby Groot. We're talking
about baby Groot.
Full-size Groot.
Full-size Groot.
I also hear this story, and I hear you almost lost your second-level bard, but didn't.
That's the thrill.
That's interesting.
Right?
That's true.
So, you were given
a and, like, Rocket lost Groot for a bit, and that was, like, really tough on him.
Yeah.
He didn't know that he was going to come back as a delightful
and
dancing baby.
And then we got the best scene in cinema history.
Spoilers!
No!
Spoilers! Caldwell?
I mean, it's been a while. You probably should have checked out Guardians of the Galaxy at this point.
Caldwell,
dude. Oh, the next thing you're going to tell us that Rachel dies in the Animorphs.
What?
I
forgot about that.
I forgot. I just started book two.
I could have read all of them.
How many have you read? I know, Jake.
Well, now I'm never going to read them again. How many would I have read?
Yeah. Who knows?
Groot dies. Olaf dies. Rachel dies. The trifecta is complete.
That's everyone you love will die.
Is anyone on the player side here?
Yeah, I feel like if you're taking cover and somebody like behind a wall, say, and somebody attacked the wall and the wall was knocked down.
Yeah.
Like that'd be bad
for
you.
They knocked your cover out. Yeah. That's what happened.
I was trying to be a dirty little devil and advocate, but I just don't know if I can.
Yeah.
It's also like I think that you've set up a fun mechanic that you're getting benefits from, but your DM can then work into like the battle too, to be like, okay, I'm gonna take this halfling's cover away.
You must live by the Groot and die by the Groot.
You also bring up a very good point that like you got through a tough fight. That's fun D&D. Congrats.
You made it. Uh-huh. Sometimes you don't get half cover. Yeah. Sometimes you don't get any cover.
Mm-mm. That's right.
You don't get cover from your lover.
Prone is prone.
And
prone's
you must
prone,
be
home.
Punished.
Throw me a bone, bros, bro.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're on the DM side here. It does sound like you got a fun thing going. So congrats on having fun.
Yeah, that's true. We're not going to take that away.
We're not going to take that away. Thing going. So we had to think of a punishment for this player. Something with Groot, maybe?
Yeah, or we just release a raccoon in your home.
Oh, that's really good.
That's fun. Yeah. We'll release a raccoon. Well, obviously not a rabid one, but a hungry one.
We'll only be feeding it oatmeal. It'll want some solid trash for sure.
Right, dry oatmeal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right, cool. And Bradley Cooper's going to call you on the phone and narrate the raccoon as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of nice. So now we're buying a Bradley Cooper cameo.
We're buying a Cooper cameo.
Do you think he's on Cameo? I feel like he's doing so well.
I don't think he's on Cameo.
It'd be insane if he was on Cameo.
Is there a Cameo for people that are doing like better?
Who's the most successful person on Cameo?
On Cameo?
That's a great question.
That's a really good question.
Oh.
Everyone want to take a guess and then we can have the
Joey
audience
Fatone.
Yeah. Pretty good. You got it.
Pretty good.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Tilda Swinton.
Yes. Miss Swinton, you do not need to be here. I love my fans.
I love the fans.
All right, cool. So your other punishment is that you have to buy a birthday message from Tilda Swinton.
Yeah,
and she is notoriously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she's the most famous person.
Yeah,
you
have to talk to her publicist. Because let's face it, she's probably not on Cameo. And if she is, we're going to buy a Cameo.
You have to convince Tilda Swinton to get on Cameo.
Convince her to
join Cameo.
And
then buy us a Tilda Swinton Cameo.
Do you think that we could get Tilda Swinton to guest on the podcast by just buying a bunch of cameos?
Yeah, just keep refilling every minute.
Cobble together a guest spot from cameos.
Wow.
I don't know. The cave seems dangerous.
That's really interesting. Okay, and your punishment is that you're in charge of figuring
out.
You have
to coordinate that, yeah.
Yeah.
And pay for it, yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be pricey. The episodes are pretty long.
Right. Your punishment is that you become our manager.
Yeah.
All right, so ordered. Devin N. writes in with our next case. To the brilliant, bold, and kind Crit Justices Axford, Tanner, and Murphy.
Wow.
And if the other guy is listening, that's okay, too.
Now, hold on. No, we're medium to Jake both today. Sides.
Oh, you got to be nice to him if you're going to be mean to him.
Yeah.
Guys,
spicy and sweet.
Spicy and sweet, please.
Brilliant but stinky, our bailiff is.
Yeah. He smells like ass, but he's hot.
Ooh, I love that. I would take that. I would take that trade so fast.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't do the other way around.
I think so. All right. My glory paladin named Percy had a strong connection to his talking steed, a horse named John, summoned with the fine steed spell.
Cool.
However, our campaign required a lot of travel and therefore random encounters that often resulted in my warhorse being attacked and killed in the first round of combat. I once summoned him after combat, and after summoning, our DM mentioned that a giant boar would have a higher AC and health and be likely to die less often.
Mm.
Because I assumed the boar would contain the same consciousness in a stronger body, I unsummoned John and attempted to resummon him as a boar, but the boar was unable to speak and had no relation to John.
When I was told...
Not even John's friend?
When I was told he wouldn't have the same mind, I immediately tried to get rid of the boar, eating a third spell slot. And bring back John.
Just picturing this person absolutely spiraling at the table.
Ooh, I unsummon you.
Yeah. We could really use a smite over here, friend.
So I tried to get rid of the boar and bring back John, but some other random horse showed up. The DM told me I'd insulted John,
and he would
no longer let me have him as a steed.
What?
I never got to have John again, and until Percy's untimely death, he tried daily to bring John back and failed.
Oh, no.
The campaign has since disbanded
due
to other issues, but this has sat with me for a while. Should I have lost my loyal steed? I leave my fate in the hands of the court.
Okay, you've been wronged.
Yeah, I think you've been wronged. There's a sympathetic take on it that maybe the DM was like, all right,
I don't want to.
I got enough
horse
on my plate. I can't role play this horse.
Yeah, the DM very clearly did not want to role play a horse. Right. Tricking you into summoning an animal that didn't talk.
It was definitely
a one time joke that you really latched onto. Yeah.
That's the DM
does not like.
That's the intention behind it all.
I was thinking, oh, maybe this DM was like setting up this quest to retrieve this like creature from another plane, like the plane of summons.
No,
you know?
he didn't want to do a horse voice.
He didn't want to do the horse voice anymore.
This case is like also comes from a DM. It's like my player Percy keeps on summoning a horse and talking to me incessantly.
One time I said hey as it showed up, and now he loves John. And wants to hang out with them all the time.
Is there a world, there's like a 1% chance, taking the DM side for a moment here, that the DM's name is also John.
Whoa.
And very Percy is incredibly rude to John the horse. Obviously putting John in danger a lot. John's dying a lot. Maybe Percy is an unreliable narrator, and Percy was being super rude to John a lot of the time, and that's why the DM took John away.
You know, you're doing mental gymnastics.
Uh-huh.
And
how do I look? How does my brain look? Does it look hot?
I mean, I'd watch it. Yeah, your brain looks hot.
All right, my brain's in a singlet, and it's doing like a lot of backflips into an Olympic-sized pool.
Yeah, I mean, the mental gymnastics are quite impressive.
You viciously broke all of your bones and fell into the Olympic-sized pool and are now drowning.
Why did my brain have bones?
Yeah. Your brain had a lot of bones.
My brain had a lot of bones.
That's part of the problem.
It was so heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they tried daily to summon
get him
John
back
and never could. And then also the character died, never found the horse again. And then the
group like you got to reunite him in death.
At least in describing the death, you got to be like, and Percy, as you enter, you know, Oath of Glory, so you probably had some god that you were the champion of. As you enter your god's arms, you look over, and running towards you through a field of wheat is John.
I never stopped thinking about you. But you also you can extrapolate even further from what you guys inferred, which is like, this player had the talking horse that was taken away. Then the player incessantly every single day rolled to try to get it back. So much so that the DM had to kill that player off. Percy's dead. And then they ended the campaign.
So the conspiracy grows. You think that the DM killed Percy to
stop John.
This. Yeah.
And then he was just like, you know what? I can't deal with this.
I can't hang out with you anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is everybody in the party was like, hey, if John's not here, we walk.
Yeah. But the case as written, I think. Yeah. Is,
you know, sort of ironically, this DM jumped through a lot of hoops to not do a horse voice.
Yes. Can a horse jump through a hoop?
I think so. I mean, they jump over the little bars.
They jump over the little bars, but a hoop is a different story.
But if I was going to say...
They can jump through, like, a thin children's hula hoop.
You say that with such confidence.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen it jump through a freaking hula hoop.
Did you see it on your trip?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It's like a beautiful Italian steed just jumped through a hoop.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Incredible.
So anyways, I'm going to side with the player here.
Yeah, I think we got to side with John and Percy.
I mean, I did my gymnastics for the day. I'm feeling fit. I'm feeling fine. But I think I will side with Percy.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what's the punishment?
The DM can only talk in a horse voice from now on.
Very good.
Because they clearly don't want to talk in a horse voice.
Right.
Wow.
And the horse voice, just to sample it, Murph, would you please?
Hello. I'm feeling a bit hoarse.
You know what would be fun if another punishment could be mm-hmm. that they have to change their dating profile to be the name John with a picture of a horse.
Oh.
That's actually really good.
Yeah. I like that. And then like so, in like, the bio it says like can jump through hoop.
Yeah.
In parentheses any hoop.
Yeah. Every date you go on you're going to have to
even,
explain.
In parentheses even a hoop earring.
It is easier for a horse to jump through a hoop than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Shout out to the Bible.
Shout out to the Bible, everybody.
Shout out to the Bible. Pretty much book number one.
Cool. So ordered. Your dating profile is now a horse.
And you have to say shout out to the Bible in your dating profile.
Shout out to the Bible.
It's just picture of a horse. You say
Big
your name
to
is
the
John.
Book of God.
You say I can jump through any hoop, even a hoop earring. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Bible.
And your name is John.
And my name is John. I'm a horse.
Yeah. Like the book.
My name is John. I'm a horse. I talk like a horse.
And I also think it should be like not a picture of a full horse. It right. should
just
still
like
be
a profile
like
picture of a horse.
A headshot.
Yeah. Right. Like the horse sat for a portrait.
You
got
to be able to see if the horse is handsome.
It could be, and yeah, it could be a BoJack Horseman situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Cool. So ordered. Art S writes, may it please the court and that guy who was on 8-Bit Book Club one time.
Oh, okay.
Jake, were you ever on 8-Bit Book Club?
Yeah. 8-Bit Book Club.
Right, I was, yeah.
You were the guest.
Special guest.
Special,
which
yeah.
Which episode?
I've been on several since, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been on a bunch. I've been kind of like the new freaking co-host.
It's under review.
It's interesting.
Yeah, like, all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm there all the time. All right. I DM a game where I have a player playing the new Dragon Ranger class who is really hesitant to use their little buddy in combat as they didn't want to risk it dying and
untying
their bond. To encourage them to enjoy it and use it for more than a horse reskin, I offered to swap out the HP for MP or morale points, where if it dropped to zero, it would run away and hide until it
was summoned. That is such a good idea.
Yeah.
This is apparently an issue for another PC.
Who,
when the Drake ran away this session, instead of falling to the ground or disappearing, got really quiet. And after the game, asked me privately why the Ranger got to keep their dragon. I haven't used the system before, and even after offering to change that case for their wizards familiar, they were still really upset. Is this a fine ruling? And what's fair for people who would have wished for this to have been their thing from the beginning before I thought of it?
Well, first off, a wizard familiar is magic.
Yeah.
So the wizard familiar just comes back. Mm-hmm. So that's not in any danger. But
We should look up Drake Warden Ranger to see what the details...
Like, can you resurrect your Drake?
I imagine you must be able to.
I feel like people can just do... Didn't we with Pawpaw, it was just like... We just said out loud he has plot armor and he would just go to zero HP.
Well,
and
we Pawpaw's saves. Different because for a majority of it, we never used him mechanically
that's
in battle.
True. Yeah.
So I do understand. To give some understanding, it's like this person's got fine familiar, and then they're looking at someone else who isn't facing.
Yeah, we gotta look at
any
this Drake,
consequences.
Drake
but let
Warden
me look
Ranger.
At Drake Warden.
Okay, here we go. Drake Companion. As an action, you can magically summon the Drake that
magic.
Is bound to you. It appears in an unoccupied space of your choice within 30 feet of you. The Drake is friendly to you and your companions. Let's see. The Drake remains until it is reduced to 0 hit points, until you use this feature to summon the Drake again,
there you
or
go.
Until you die.
So, okay, great.
So it's not even...
So it doesn't even die. It just disappears.
Right.
So yeah, there's truly no difference.
There's no difference.
Like, mechanically, there's no difference. It's not like... Maybe this player thought that they were going to be able to run back
dead.
Into battle or something like that.
I think the player probably just didn't want their animal familiar to die
and
maybe
yeah.
didn't realize. I think the DM maybe didn't realize that once the Drake goes to zero, just disappears and can
right.
be summoned again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you're right, but maybe for the wrong reasons. Uh-huh. I think this is a great solve, but I don't think it needed a solve because the thing doesn't die.
Well,
you know what I mean?
No. But this person, it could be fair to say that like this person doesn't want to see their
Drake get hurt.
Drake get hurt. That's, so mm-hmm. I think that was a really elegant solution.
That's true.
And I'm a little unclear what the wizard is upset about.
It's classic Prissy Wizard.
Yeah, yeah. I think being that, like,
why did they get something cool?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm mad.
Give me spells.
I'm mad about stuff going on at my house, but I'm especially mad.
I'm taking here it at the out table. On you. Yeah. I think that I really like the morality points. I think you did. You could offer the same situation
They did. The wizard was just got mad. Because they're like, this should have been offered from the jump or something.
Well, okay, but that's just an insane thing to say. Retroactively, you should have heard this.
Retroactively, you should have fixed something I wasn't complaining about.
Yeah. The wizard wanted an apology, which wizard doesn't
But also, mechanically, the Drake Warden can just summon without a spell slot.
Yeah.
The wizard is still going to have to do a ritual cast or or cast the spell.
Yeah, and I would say as long as you make it so that maybe when they get to zero morality points, you have to cast Summon Steed again to get their hit points up. That way the spell slots stay the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, this wizard's kind of being not cool.
It really sounds like somebody dinged the wizard's Toyota in the parking lot and they're like still carrying that weight and they're upset about that. And they're bringing that to the session.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can just buff that out. I mean,
Toyotas get dinged, guys.
Yeah.
That's
I got myself a Corolla. Gets dinged every once in a while.
Yeah, that's true. You're gonna get dinged. Yeah,
you get freaking dinged.
Yeah, I drive a Toyota as well. I park my 4Runner on the streets in New York City. That thing is dinged.
It's dinged.
Dinged to pieces.
Maybe somebody accidentally dings a Corolla with their RAV4 when they're parking next to the garage, and you know maybe they don't actually confess.
I saw you scrape.
Did you ding my Corolla?
I'm just saying. I'm playing dinger's advocate. I'm not saying that I dinged it. I'm saying that somebody could have dinged it.
So
let's move on.
Okay. I saw it with a DM. I really like your solution.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes people are particular, and it sounds like this wizard is maybe just particular, and that's their own thing. And you didn't do anything wrong.
You definitely didn't do anything wrong. I feel like this wizard should have their Corolla dinged.
Yeah. You went above and beyond. We're going to trash this person's Corolla. And if they don't have a Corolla, we're going to buy them one and destroy it.
You'll get a new car!
We're going to go ahead and lease it for them.
That's cool.
And then
they're on the hook.
Yeah. Right. And we're not going to buy the extra protection insurance, which I always have to buy.
We're going to lease it and we're going to get really low mileage too. You're basically can't.
It's going to be great. It's going to show up in your driveway with one of those big carbos. You're going to be so excited. Yeah. And we're just going to pop out of the trash cans and we're all going to have
golf
clubs. We're
all going to show up on scooters with keys out. Yes.
We're going to key your freaking Corolla.
There goes your deposit. It's essentially undrivable.
Yeah. I'm going to pull out a freaking sock full of golf balls and just go nuts on the taillights.
We're all wearing cut-off denim vests that say dingers on the back.
Yeah, they say not dingers. We've got super short shorts on. We're sunburned to all hell.
Yeah.
Because guess what? We didn't put sunscreen on. Because we're mad. We're chapped.
I'm wearing cargo pants.
Yeah.
What?
Jake's wearing really long cargo pants. Really we're wearing really pants. Short jorts. And
I'm wearing
confused.
Jankos. Yeah.
And Emily's wearing...
sidelining my scooter.
And I need to use your bathroom.
All the torn
hems.
Yeah,
I have to go inside and piss really bad.
Jake has to go inside and use the bathroom, and he has to go so bad that he tingles a little bit before he gets into the bathroom.
Tingles before
on the carpet.
Yeah.
You have a carpet, and if you don't have carpet, we're going to lay some down. Emily is going to tear her Jankos. They're going to get all wet from the piss,
and then
she's going to step on them, and then you're going to have torn Janko shreds all
I'm
over your driveway.
Drag every fluid from your front yard into your house with my Jankos.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is like a push broom, but it's
my Jankos are a Swiffer.
So just get ready. We're coming over and we're buying you a Corolla.
Congratulations. You just got a new car. So ordered.
Better watch your back, motherfucker.
Badger Among Men writes, may it please the almighty court...
Still laughing.
Remember it quick. May it please the almighty court and the masterful bailiff Jake.
There you can be a little mean to him.
Yeah. Not to be just,
nice.
I present to you the case of the raccoonicorn.
Mm.
So raccoons are coming back. My players found a homebrew 5e creature called a raccoonicorn.
Okay.
A raccoon that grew a horn and gained the power of a unicorn. They nearly demanded I add one into the campaign. But the problem is that in our world, raccoons and unicorns are not native to the same plane. So they'd have to find some way to artificially create a raccoonicorn. They decided to try and use Find Greater Steed to summon a unicorn, which they then plan to kill and feed to a raccoon.
Oh, God.
What? I told them that since it was summoned using a spell, that it wasn't a real unicorn, and I wouldn't allow them to create a raccoonicorn. The table was upset, saying that I was just trying to stop them from having fun. Was I wrong to deny my players a magical sentient raccoon familiar? I await your judgment.
I do agree that you are trying to stop them from having fun.
Yeah, however, I
disagree with their style of fun.
I disagree with how it played out, but if my table is like, yeah, we really want a raccoonicorn, easy. That's an easy way. Like, you're actually building the world. You can make it exist.
It's cute, but isn't it? We go to this every once in a while.
Sure.
It's that zombie robots humor, right?
Right. But here's the thing. If everyone is willing to embrace the cringe, is it even cringe?
I'm not going to judge what my table is excited about and be like, actually, you shouldn't be excited about that. I'm going to be like, that's what you're excited about? Cool. So if raccoonicorn is what they want, then sweet. I instantly tweak it so that it exists in my world.
Yeah. I am confused about why they needed the raccoon to eat a unicorn.
So I was on board until their method of creating the raccoon.
They're LOL playing too wild. They're LOL so random.
It didn't show respect for the idea of a raccoonicorn, right?
Uh-huh.
It went from being like, oh my God, these guys are excited about a cute little animal to being like, oh, these are mad scientists.
Right.
They're playing two different campaigns. Because one of them is like, I'll feed a unicorn to a raccoon. And the other one was like, well, those don't exist on the same plane. You summon that with a fine steed, which is a spell, which means it's like, these are not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Half of them are raccoon, half of them are unicorn, and it's hard for them to meet in the middle.
I see both sides to it, because even though it's not quite my sense of humor, I could understand why somebody would just want to do the Looney Tunes thing. They're just like,
as long as someone made bacon.
Yeah, there you go. epic bacon stuff. Yeah.
I think a raccoonicorn sounds cute.
Okay, it sounds cute. It's very cute.
That is fun.
But I also see where the DM's coming from in that, like, I don't know, it takes a lot of time to prep stuff and to get like excited about this stuff, and part of it is world building and like the integrity of your world, and it's a lot easier to get excited about something when, you know, you have control of your world. And once you're like, you know what? Daffy Duck exists here. It just makes it a little less cool.
Counterpoint, Murph. Uh-huh. You are focusing on the details of it. Okay. But if us at the table got really excited about the idea of a raccoonicorn, wouldn't you be like, oh, this is a fun thing to float? I'm gonna be like, oh, you guys have heard of this plane in which the raccoonicorn runs wild. And then suddenly we have like a whole mission and we're excited about it.
Yeah, I agree that you shouldn't, there's no reason to like just give your players whatever they want.
Right.
It's like, like I want a raccoonicorn, which means I'll just feed a unicorn to a raccoon.
Right.
It's
we don't want that.
But like, I'll get you there my own way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hint it. Let's tease it. Let's put you on a quest.
Which
to get
I would argue that this DM kind of was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they were just saying,
there's
it
like they're
work
not
like
on
that,
the same plane.
It wouldn't like, work like that.
You can get a raccoonicorn eventually. Yeah.
So your players actually do kind of suck because they were like, well, you just don't want
to
stuff.
Yeah, you have to give it to me instantly.
All right, cool. We won't have fun. You're calm.
The only way I can have fun is if I have a raccoonicorn.
But also, like, the only way I can have fun is instant gratification.
Yeah.
This idea came to me, and I would like it now.
Totally. Exactly. And, like, I don't want to work that hard. It's like, okay, we want it. Well, you can't just have it.
Then I'll fucking quest. Raccoon.
I will say it is such a little thing that part of me is like, you should just give in. But at the same time, I don't know, if you think back at like campaign one, we'd make jokes about like Bev going to Ruby Tuesdays with his dad.
Right.
And if Caldwell was really insistent, like, no, this has to be canon. I need to right now have a flashback to me and my dad at Ruby Tuesdays. I think I might just flat out say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like,
I think it might just be like,
what if all three of us would be like,
we can't have fun? We can't have fucking fun?
I think I would put my hand over the mic and be like, what are we doing?
We're having fun, or at least we're trying to.
We're trying to, dude.
I'm trying to watch Caldwell role play a scene.
Right, so
in a Ruby Tuesday.
Number one, Hard One and Moonshine aren't there because I haven't met them yet. This is a flashback. So if you like, you can just like sit and watch. But this is going to be, pull out note cards. I'm like, Dad, I've had a lot of things I wanted to say to you.
Why does it have to be a Ruby Tuesday?
This would have been like my third.
That's where it happened. Do you not want me to have fun?
This would have been my third game of D&D ever. I don't know if this is a good game.
I don't know if this is real.
And that is actually a good point because I feel like, Bev made a lot of jokes about Ruby Tuesdays, but I feel like, you know, anytime I would do that, I would be like, you know, like glancing over at Murph to be like, where am I? How far am I teetering?
Where am I actually?
Yeah.
But no, counterpoint, though, is like the DM can listen to it and then know that, like, all of Hot Boy Summer was you guys saying fucking stupid shit and then me being like, all right, they're going to get really amped if I throw this in their path.
Yeah, it's true.
It's a balance.
Yeah, it's definitely a balance.
Mm-hmm. It is a balance. But it sounds like this DM was trying to create the balance.
Yeah.
And the players, I think, flew off the handle.
This DM didn't say they don't exist at all. They said they're on a different plane.
Yeah.
Their method of trying to create it too, like I said, it does not show respect for either animal.
That's true.
It is true. Treating them animals like a commodity to create some sort of designer familiar, and I don't like that.
That's correct. Let the raccoon and the unicorn meet at a restaurant, fall in love.
Yeah.
At a Ruby Tuesdays.
At a Ruby Tuesdays. They go on a first date. They go on a second date.
Right.
Eventually, one thing leads to another. You got some raccoon
there
corn
really
babies.
There should be coitus involved here.
Yeah.
Coitus or some sort of chaos, reality-altering plane.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Chaotic in coitus.
Just a full WandaVision to create this raccoon.
Exactly,
corn.
Yeah. Mm.
So who the players are going to be punished?
I think I'm on the DM side. Okay. Although I will say that whether or not you're right doesn't really matter here because all of your players disagree. So just take comfort in knowing that we think you're correct.
Yeah, right. We think you're correct. We're sorry that you're...
So sorry.
Mm-hmm. We're sorry. You should probably give them raccoon a corn.
Yeah.
I also, I don't know who walks away from that session feeling good.
Yeah.
Like, if you let them succeed... I don't know what that session becomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you say to a significant other when you get home and they're like, How was your game tonight?
Yeah. I had a raccoon and a horn.
Yeah.
I raccoon had a horn.
We summoned a unicorn, fed it to a raccoon, and then we didn't know what to do with it.
DM, who is the DM who is a friend of mine, looked really sad about it.
They did all this work world building, and then I just showed up with Doritos half an hour into it and said I wanted a raccoonicorn. Do you want to look at lolcats?
Look at this meme.
Hilarious.
Oh, wait, you're just a pile of pillows. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. You left for good reason.
Oh, my God. You emptied your drawers. You didn't even leave a note. You took your dog. Oh, buddy, the Corolla, it's gone. She took the dog.
How are we gonna punish the players?
I mean, that sounded like a punishment
that
right there.
Like a punishment. Yeah.
Or their Jankos could get caught in the wheel of a Corolla.
That's a death.
Away.
That's a death.
No, you mean like
sucked into the wheel well of a Corolla?
It's so small. It sucks into the wheel well.
It could just rip the pants.
It just
rips.
That's what
they
can
do. Yeah, that's true.
Your favorite pair of Jankos.
And it's like on a crowded street.
I feel like that's 50-50 whether it's comedy or tragedy, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. So ordered. Will S. writes our next case. Will writes, to the great justices and the great bailiff. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Great
I do
at
appreciate
sucking.
That.
There we
wow.
go. There you go. Thank you.
I'm
great at sucking eggs.
Whoa.
Because you eat pretty healthy.
That's a neutral statement. That's definitely a neutral statement. That's good, yeah.
Teetering on an insult and constantly walk you back. Sucking eggs.
Wow.
Because you look malnourished and you need eggs.
Wow. Jake's at the eggs again.
sugging excellently.
Nice. I'm running a campaign where all the characters are chaotic because the starting place was a prison where they would escape through the Underdark.
All right.
Okay. That's fun. That sounds really fun.
One of my players, always wanting to play outside the box characters, made a kobold cavalier fighter barbarian named Dog, who rides the other PCs. Okay.
Okay.
But trying to have a story relevant to their backstory, the party ran into Dog's old warden, or Warren, who tasked the party with a mission and secretly asked Dog to betray his party members and bring all their magic items.
And okay, so Dog agreed.
Right.
Right.
You should never do this.
Yeah. Me, thinking this will lead to some cool moments between PCs, I message the player asking him to ready some lines or think about what you're going to do or say and write them down because in my mind, this is a big moment and maybe some PvP. He replied that there will definitely be PvP and that because Dog the Kobold would not be prepared, he would not prepare either.
I kind of like this dude.
I was going to say the same thing.
Dog shoots from the hip. I know it doesn't end well because you messaged our show.
I do. I can't help but kind of respect that a little bit.
I'm rooting for Dog for sure.
I know it's going to implode.
We love Dog.
I like Dog.
Reluctantly left it at that because I assumed he was busy. It all culminated in the party completing the mission and Dog blocking the path back, repeatedly screaming, "No, no, no." For a couple of rounds of combat until the warlock successfully suggested him to calm. Everything worked out, but do I have the right to feel salty that I didn't get a big player moment, or am I asking too much of my PCs?
Dog told you exactly what Dog was going to do.
I think that your PCs are going to play it how they feel like playing it, and what you just described sounds so funny
It's funny to us knowing everything. But I'm a little bit confused as to what happened at the table. Does the table even know that Dog kind of betrayed them? Or did he just in the middle of a battle start yelling no at a tunnel?
No. And where does the fact that Dog likes to ride the other players come in? Does that happen?
Right, because where is Dog their mount going to be them. If Dog is...
Okay, wait. Okay, forgive me, but I'm the way I'm picturing this, I'm just really enjoying it. So is there a possibility that actually blocking the path but screaming no was showing Dog's inner
That was
conflict?
Dog's Hodor moment.
Yes.
So that is an amazing moment that you didn't recognize.
No.
Yeah.
That was Dog acting.
Give Dog the Emmy.
No.
So I wonder if the other players just didn't know what was happening. And are just like, Dog, what the fuck are you doing?
No.
Right?
Dog was protecting them. In the only way Dog knew how.
I don't know, but it's possible that this DM wanted it to feel more...
Well, I think, the DM... It sounded like the DM actually wanted PvP, which I was surprised. When I first heard it, I was like, oh, the DM's floating this out there so Dog can have a moment where maybe it seems like Dog's going to work against the party, but then stands up to the the warden.
They actually wanted Dog to betray the party.
Yeah.
This and is Dog so funny, though. They completed a mission, and then one of the players inexplicably blocked the path.
And they just got around.
They cast Calm. The warlock cast Calm on Dog. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dog just had to stop.
I love the confidence of just being like, I'm just going to shoot from the hip.
Yeah. Don't worry. Dog wouldn't know. And also,
Dog's got this.
Dog theoretically would have planned. Because
Dog
they were
must
supposed
have
to
absolutely betray fucking everyone. Panicked at the table.
Oh, yeah. I'm picturing Dog looking at their character sheet,
Picture Dog the Bounty Hunter while this is happening.
I am, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Dog the Bounty Hunter. Kobold, though.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying the player is Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like to picture them more panicked.
Okay.
No.
What are you doing, Dog?
No, yeah, it would have been a good PvP moment. Like, I mean, it's almost... I understand why the warlock would cast calm, but what's the wording of calm? I feel like that would just like calm your emotions. Like,
which I think it, I mean, it's kind of up to Doug yeah. to how Doug responds to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to, unfortunately, I know that I have concocted a story of how this went down in my head that doesn't line up with reality, and I'm incredibly partial to it, so I have to abstain from this.
Really?
Because wow. what
you're,
I.
You're recusing the, yourself.
I'm recusing. Because the story I'm picturing is really making me laugh, and yeah. I can't be impartial.
No, I'm like casting Dog as someone funny in my head.
I've turned Dog into a folk hero in my the head, and I can't be part
the confidence to respond and be like, I'm not going to prepare
anything. I got this.
Because Dog wouldn't either. Have
the
a good day, man.
The situation is too funny, and I think, can't be yeah. impartial.
I'm picturing like Dog says, like, that sounds really great. I'm not going to prepare, though.
Yeah.
Dog is on Do Not Disturb.
The thing Dog I'll, out. The thing I'll say to the DM is that everything that you set up sounds super fun.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I have to recuse myself because I can't be impartial.
I'm
going to
say I'm
going to
come out
person.
Hard for Dog.
Really? I love
I'm
it.
I'm on Dog's side.
Yeah.
Because I think that as soon as you sent, first off, you're kind of trying to create some shenanigans. You're trying to create PvP.
Yeah. yeah.
Which means that you're being a little bit of a trickster.
Right.
Mm. And you got tricked back.
Yeah.
Dog-dogged you.
Dog-dogged you. This feels like a DM lesson where like you're putting too much trust into the player as to make, as, like to do yeah. something that you want in your game.
As soon as you Dog the that. Kobold who rides the other players said, "Don't worry, I got this."
yeah.
You should have known that they don't got this.
That's right. fair.
Yeah, right. You should have had a backup plan.
Right. That's fair saying that maybe there yeah. was a judgment call on the DMs.
Even you, right. even you guys who are obviously incredible improvisers, if I said something to you guys and was mm-hmm. like, hey, just so you guys know, this backstory thing's going to come up if you want to like think about it, if you responded, I'm not going to think about it.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I'd pause. It would give me pause. And you're professionals. Yeah. You're not Dog.
yeah.
So I'm coming out hard for Dog.
It's yeah. like James Gunn writing Suicide Squad and then like just thinking, I'll just wing it on
I'll
the
just,
first
I'll
act.
Just figure it out. Yeah. Dog saying no. At the tunnel is, you know, that's yeah. PvP.
I'm picturing now like the script for Suicide Squad and just like it, there's just a scene that's just like location outdoors and then just in parentheses we'll figure this one out on the day.
Idris Elba's here, I guess.
Let's get the cast together and figure something out for this.
Yeah, Joker does something crazy. Jared, you got this. Well,
so we're punishing the DM.
We're punishing the DM.
I'm abstaining.
Unless Emily's right. abstaining. Is anyone not on Dog's side?
I'm on Dog's side.
Okay. Caldwell. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter. But,
but we do. Matters. But we would like you on record. Yeah, just Tanner.
If you're anti-Dog, then
I
we
just
need
feel
to know.
Like. It's hard because like the DM should have known better than to trust Dog. But is that enough to punish the DM?
Is that a reason to side with Dog?
Dog did what Dog was always going to do. Yeah. And Dog actually told you what Dog
but
was
going to
do. Dog said,
but
Dog
should
said,
we applaud
I
Dog
got preparing?
I don't think I can applaud Dog for this.
Dog's radical transparency is just really charming.
Okay. So
No, I'm putting my foot down. No
you're
dog.
Anti-dog?
Yeah, bad okay. dog, I say.
Bad dog. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, me and the bailiff are pro dog, so we need to punish.
I'm pro abstinence.
Emily loves not fucking.
So celibate. The celibate justice.
Yeah. You know, I respect the robe, so.
Too much to let it ever come off.
I take baths in it. All
right, so we need to punish.
It's so gray.
Heavy.
We need to punish the DM.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I disagree, but I respect you to the death. So let's do this.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, maybe they just have to take a shower in a judge's robes.
Oh, that's sure. Nice. Fun. That's heavy. That's
light. Yeah, that's a yeah. Tough. Yeah, that's
it's a heavy robe, but a light punishment.
And yeah, mm-hmm. you're gonna be tracking water all throughout the house.
You're gonna be tracking water.
Oh, you're so you gotta wish my Jankos.
And
were
you're
there.
Gonna ruin the interior of your Corolla.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, you can forget that cloth is never gonna smell right again.
That's gonna be a mildewed Corolla right there.
Oh my gosh,
you are going to be a mildewed. And the, you got to be sopping all day, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got to let it air dry.
Yeah, you got to let it air dry. Oh, yeah. You go sit outside.
Yeah, you can roll down the moonroof on the Corolla, though.
Yeah. Do they have a moonroof?
No. No, they don't.
No, I didn't think they did.
You get the all-weather package.
Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty package.
Which, if you'll look out your door, you'll see one right there.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from Michael M. Michael writes, may it please the court and pleasure the bailiff. Okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, good all right. For you. You deserve it. You deserve a little treat.
Okay, thank you.
Have a chocolate.
That's just condescending enough. Have a chocolate.
Give him a little tickle.
I give you what may be the least satisfying mechanic I've ever heard of.
Ooh. This is starting out.
Salty.
Ooh.
I've been playing in a 3.5E campaign of my DM's own brewing for the last 4.5 years. We had some issues a while back, but overall, there's really only one major complaint I and at least another player have with the way our crits are dealt out.
Oh, no.
Our DM makes us crit confirm all our nat 20s as well as our nat 1s. When somebody rolls a nat 1, the DM will have that person roll again to determine how bad or catastrophic the failure may be. Typically, at least a roll of 10 is required to just have the action be unsuccessful rather than detrimental. If somebody rolls a nat 20, however, we then need to roll again and hope the number was above a 10 to have it even be counted as a 20 total on a skill check. If it's below a 10, we have in the past lost out on double damage for attacks, and once when a natural 1 came up on the confirmation roll, the skill check was then unsuccessful. Is this just a raw thing from a bygone era of D&D? Please judge us so we may figure out a solution or get on with the thing.
I mean, it could. I don't know enough about the history. I mean,
we played 3.5.
This never came up for us. Mm-hmm.
We didn't confirm our crits.
I gotta say, hearing this story physically hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah, taking away the crit is tough.
All of the joy gone. Like, when you roll that 20, it's an exclamation.
Yeah. Okay, now roll again.
Not like, okay, there's the crit, and let us confirm.
Because you're never going to be happy.
Also, calling it crit confirms is God. Like... Oh, God.
It's so unsatisfying, too, because unless you crit again, it's anticlimactic. Because if you crit and then you get a 17, you're still then looking at the 17. It's still kind of a middling success. You're like, yeah, I guess this is fine.
Weirdly, I'm equally bothered by the nat ones being taken away.
Yeah, you just complicated a perfectly fine system. Like, it didn't need this.
I wonder why this DM feels inspired inspired to overcomplicate
this? I don't know, but I will give kudos to these players for sticking it out for 4.5 years.
Yeah. Having to crit confirm.
Yeah,
that's one college length of time.
Yeah. You should graduate from this.
You have
system.
A major in crit confirmation.
Crit confirm sounds like doing your taxes.
Yes, you could have been confirmed in the Catholic Church in the amount of time that you've been crit confirming.
It's wild. To me, that also that you and another player feel like this. Like, if two people at the table feel like this, quietly being like, say
this
something.
Is bad, right?
But
I mean, it's okay if the story's great and you guys are having a lot of fun and it's just this one mechanic. It's like, I can understand just being like, well, this annoys me, but okay.
This is a problem with, I don't know, I feel like a lot of homebrew that tries to mess with the D20 or trying to add like a bunch of dice instead is, I get the idea that you're looking at it from a completely mechanical standpoint where you're like, what are the odds that you have a 5% chance of failing like everything and a 5% chance of having like great success and stuff? That's not how things work. There's not that big of a range of success and failures and everything. If you're good at something, you're good at something.
Yeah, goblins don't exist. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Yep.
What would you guys think if you played in a campaign where it was reversed, where one was failure and 20 was... Or one was success and 20 was failure. If you like went into like an upside down world. Mm.
Oh, like just like an alternate universe where everything's the same except for that.
Would that be fun? A mind fuck? Or would it be like, I don't do that to me?
I think it would be really rough for like the first two sessions, but I get used to it.
I would be worried about Dice Christ, the Dice Christ level.
Oh my God.
Because I remember there was like
superstitious.
There was a thing in campaign one where you guys got cursed.
Oh, yeah.
Your nat 20s got turned to nat 1s, I think.
That was awful. But there was also, we had a dice that like had the word fuck for a 1 and like a for the nat 20. And I was like, it'd be cool if fuck was the 20. Because it's
fuck.
Yeah, cool. Dude.
But then like I felt weird, you know, doing that because it was, I knew that it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't right.
Yeah. It wasn't what Dice Christ wanted. No.
Well, I think we're all totally on your side that this mechanic sounds
so
less
boring.
Fun. Yeah. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And like, you've all graduated. You're adults now. Like, you need to talk to your DM about this.
Yeah. No matter what school you were in when you started this, you've graduated. That's how long it's been.
Yeah.
Senior year's over. Unless you're in elementary school, in which case, your writing is fantastic.
Yeah.
You shouldn't listen to the show.
It is interesting, too, because even if you're doing a thing that you're like, okay, this is going to be encounter checks and you have to roll a D20 for it, you still, I feel like when you're doing that, you're like, well, I got to make sure that the 20 still feels like a crit and I got to make sure that the 1 still feels like a failure.
Yeah. Only way this system works for me is if it's like a like devil's dice situation where you roll the nat 20 and it's like, okay, you can roll another one. And if you roll 2 nat 20s, the damage is like quadrupled. But if you roll a 1 on that, it's all undone.
So
you
can like
almost
gambling.
Like double down.
If
you can gamble. Oh, that's fun.
I like that.
You roll again and only the 1 and 20 count.
Yeah.
You get a 1, it undoes the crit.
I like that, 20, Caldwell.
It doubles it. That's
fun. That feels
just,
really
so it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one. It's, just, it's only like it's only those
and
two numbers.
And you elect to do it.
But if you roll a 12, nothing. It's nothing.
Exactly.
It's nothing. You keep the crit.
So anyway, like you're at your graduation party. You've got your robes on. You've got your mortars. You're all smoking big old cigars.
Wow.
Your parents are there.
Right.
And like, you know, like after you've had like a few drinks and you're like talking about like what you're going to do next year, who's living with who.
And they're like, congrats on graduating sixth grade.
Yeah, exactly. Bring your DM aside, take him to like an empty corner of the room and like just pitch them on this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, like, we're going to be seventh graders.
We're going to be seventh graders. Yeah.
We're adults now.
Yeah. Okay. All right,
great.
So
I think we're all on your side.
We do have to punish them, though.
We have to punish.
Yeah. The punishment is that the DM needs to start doing Caldwell's freaking cool idea.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do Caldwell's cool idea.
Yeah. It's kind of a punishment. Thanks, guys.
And you, as the player, need to just go up to your DM, apropos of nothing, not explaining the situation, just go in a Jerry Seinfeld voice, you got to do Caldwell's idea.
Brown is prone.
Brown is prone.
They were prone.
It's the devil. devil dice, Jerry.
Okay, so ordered. All right, our next case comes from Noah S. Noah writes, to the justices who are okay.
Are you sure this isn't multiple Noahs?
Yeah, oh, Noahs. Oh,
Noahs. Okay. Thank so you, Noahs, all the Noahs.
Noahs. Right.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Several Noahs.
Thank right. you.
So all the Noahs wrote, to the justices who are okay and the bailiff who I am obligated to be nice to because he chooses the cases.
Wow. Oh, wow. No. Okay, okay, that's I neutral. That's one. Pretty neutral. I like yeah. that yeah. one.
I don't
okay.
like that so many Noahs are teaming up on
yeah.
him. Yeah, it's true.
I bring to you the case of my shit brother and my unhinged paladin.
Yes, yes.
This is wow, a really
this has
toxic table.
All the elements.
Oh my
of
god,
the toxic
I'm
table.
Tucking a napkin into my shirt.
I do.
I did the Three Black Halflings deep dive on paladins, and I was telling them that like. In the beginning, we used to get all these stories about like rogues, like kind of rogues gone wrong. Mm-hmm. But lately, I feel like we've been getting some toxic paladins.
You yeah. know what? We should spin this off into an episode called Tales from the Toxic Table, whoa. Which is just like not even in cases. It's just like these terrible stories.
Or yeah. we should do a like all paladins, all rogues, mm. and have people submit only a certain.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's okay. Oh, and we decide but, once and for all. Who's the problem player?
Right. Who's the problem yeah. player?
Who's the problem player?
Because it's one or the other.
Yeah. Okay. I was playing in a session one of a new campaign. My friend was running with my brother and a few friends. I played a paladin whose name is Gabriel, mm-hmm. who has a god complex and made an oath to himself.
Whoa.
Sick. My brother plays a rogue Kenku named Crash.
You're both. They're both yeah. that player. They're both that person.
This is no. it.
Yeah. Let's hear more about Crash, though.
The DM started explaining the characters and the setting we were in, and all was going smoothly until he said the plot hook. My brother decided Crash wouldn't be interested in the campaign and instead tried to rob me.
Okay, Crash is worse right now.
Yeah. I caught him due to a nat 20 perception check, and he tried to run away from the party and leave the campaign entirely. I saw that the DM started to panic a little, so I decided to grapple Crash and essentially kidnap him in order to keep the party together.
The fact that you guys are siblings yeah. is absolutely... Like, I am just picturing these spiraling siblings while a DM is like... looking at all these notes that they can no longer
but
use.
I think, why do you need your brother to play so bad?
But Gabriel, or Noah's plural, gave us the context, which is they saw the DM is kind of freaking
right,
out.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're
yeah,
trying yeah. to rally.
You got to give him credit for that.
This is all happening in a comic store in like a random group.
Oh, I hate this.
Oh,
we've
no.
We've all had the experience of being over at a friend's house when your friend gets like way too angry at their sibling, right? And it like becomes uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
Aww. Yeah, that my brother used to kick my ass in front of my friends as soon as he was old enough.
It's like 10 years younger than
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
You know, he is 8 years younger than me and a lot stronger. My reasoning in character was to force Crash to atone for his sins against me, which my brother thought was a fun dynamic and was on board with.
Okay.
After the session, however, one of the other players in the campaign approached me and accused me of hogging the spotlight.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
I fear I may have overstepped my boundary dear. As a player by trying to bring the campaign back on track. Should I have left that to the DM to figure out? I leave myself in the hands of the court. How is that for a twist?
That is a wild experience.
Man.
I think that, you know, you guys came in with a pre-established dynamic from yeah. being siblings. And sometimes that can, you know, you guys are going to feel more comfortable role-playing with each other than
yeah.
they're
yeah.
going to feel role-playing with you.
I'm picturing the brother stealing from him at the very beginning and then him just like grabbing him for like an hour and a half.
I think we could yeah. all agree that you should have just let Crash leave. Yeah. We understand where you yeah. were coming from. It was like well-intentioned, totally. But Crash has got
to
crash.
Let him go.
But
he's really panicking because he doesn't want Crash to leave.
But it's also, it's this whole table just isn't going to work because
yeah,
there's so many.
That's true.
The rogue stealing from you right away uh-huh. fucked up.
Uh-huh.
Then the person who got mad at you,
right.
that's weird.
For hogging the spotlight.
For quote unquote hogging the spotlight.
Yeah, I think that is tough.
The yeah. table is too toxic to bear.
Table's too toxic.
Here's yeah. the thing.
I think
maybe you had missteps. Maybe Crash yeah. had missteps. It sounds like everyone was just misstepping. Yeah.
You need to move tables.
You need to switch tables.
But take Crash with you because I really like the dynamic of Gabriel and Crash.
I want to see a game with Crash and Dog.
No, no, no,
Crash
no.
and... No!
no, no,
no, no.
Like barking like a dog. No. Oh,
hey,
dog
man.
Crash Gabriel.
when you just stood John. In front of that door and said John. No over and over again, that was like, just it really felt like you were just kind of like hogging the table.
What would this? What was this paladin?
I wasn't
doing,
hogging
though?
The table. I was dogging the table.
Nice.
Okay, I understand and I respect you now.
What did this paladin do though? That they got pulled aside afterwards, after being robbed. Mm-hmm. By like PvP'd by another player, and yeah. They got in trouble at the end.
You know, I don't. I honestly, this is like I'm gonna come up and say I don't have a strong. I don't feel as though I could weigh in on if you join a random table, how much,
how
like
hard
if
you can
you're
go
allowed,
on your
if you can yeah. be like, mm-hmm. if you can be like, I don't even know that I that you can be like, hey, you're hogging yeah. the table for this one shot.
It's like they took up a lot of oxygen. Like,
yeah.
In the story.
Yeah.
It's just
yeah.
like, okay, but, this guy wanted to leave. I tackled him. Then I convinced him to stay. And then it's like, well, that, then that, we wrapped, freaking, that wrapped we up the tale it. Of Crash and Gabriel yeah. real nice.
Yeah. I what would about agree. Else? I mean, it does sound like Crash and Gabriel should go to a
they
different
had fun.
Table, yeah. right? Because you go to a different table. And then this person who felt like they weren't getting enough of a spotlight mm-hmm. can have the spotlight.
I love the dynamic between Gabriel and Crash.
Right.
Crash is like, it's so chaotic. And Gabriel is like, you know how to talk to Crash. Like, okay.
No, yeah, give them a spinoff. Give them a spinoff table.
Is it confirmed that they were just at a random table?
Oh,
or
no, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, so we
yeah.
don't know that it was
yeah,
a random
no, I was just
table.
Making a joke about how it would be funny if that was.
Oh, okay, because right. it was is a funny because I fully interpreted it that way.
Yeah, I want it to be true.
It is very
be.
True,
okay,
though.
Okay, so if it wasn't a random table, then maybe it's your friend and they're saying, I don't know. I can't. Yeah.
I can't imagine unless someone really, really hammed it up so hard. I can't imagine after one session pulling someone aside and being have to chat.
Like the low-key villain of this story is the person that was like, you yeah. hogged the spotlight.
Yeah.
And like, I don't, you could yeah. have a different note about what happened. Yeah. But it being like it's, you hog the spotlight,
and there is a world honestly, where that's,
that is,
where that's
that
real and that's
very
valid.
There's, foreign yeah. and strange.
Yeah, that's
to me.
There's a world where that's valid. I would say in 95% of cases, you could maybe let it go two sessions before you right. figure yeah. out if you. Need
I think
to,
I'll let it go like five yeah. sessions, and then maybe I would ask the DM like, "Hey, is there anything I can do to get involved more?" I think I would. Yeah. I would consider reaching out to the DM about. Feeling not included rather than another player.
Yeah, I think if yeah. I stood up, if I approached any player afterwards, I would be like, oh, you know, the DM worked really hard on the story or whatever.
Exactly,
and it'd be
right.
Crash.
Yeah.
You and Crash were just like wrestling.
I think that would be maybe the more valid yeah. PC to PC right. interaction to be like, hey, I actually think the DM has like a world they're trying to do.
Yeah.
And like right now, it's been really heavy.
But this other player must have also been insane. Like, yeah, I want to. To do my crazy shit.
Everyone at the table's fucking nuts. I will say, you know what? I'm gonna side with freaking Crash and Gabriel. I'll say I don't. But given what we know here, I don't think you deserve to chat.
Mm, yeah. No.
Yes. Yeah. 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 If it's just down to the chat, I don't think that you deserved a chat.
I don't think yeah. you deserved that.
I don't think you deserved that chat.
Mm, nay. Nay.
There might be a chat you deserve, but not
you
that.
You and your
chat.
Brother need a chat. You and your DM need to chat. Uh-huh. You and whoever this person is probably don't need to chat. Probably don't. Unless you guys did just talk the whole time.
You know, that's true. You could have had a check-in. You could have had a chat with a DM being like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I was trying to help you out. I'll try to be more. But that chat didn't seem to.
No.
That chat was whack.
That is
that chat was whack.
It's a Mac Son of Mumford move, honestly.
Yeah.
Just to go and be like,
sidebar with somebody after. Yeah, I don't know that this deserved a sidebar. There is a world where it deserved a sidebar. We weren't at the game.
We were at the game.
The brothers could have been
right.
bashing skulls.
But again,
the whole time.
I like the point that it's like, yeah, the conversation should have been like, hey, it feels like it took up like a bunch of space in the DM. Had stuff they wanted to
right.
do.
Yeah, that's true.
Accusing you of hogging the spotlight is so.
Also, if you're
like,
wrangling
Crash
your
got
brother,
away with, got away with it.
Yeah, I think like Crash I'm kind of anti Crash. I'm anti the sidebar person. Maybe.
I'm just picturing the sidebar person like having so many notes in their hands, being like, "I had several poems prepared."
I'm a bard.
I think the fact that all of the Noahs,
the Council of Noahs,
seem to have taken to heart the sidebar person saying that they hogged the spotlight. Makes me trust Noah's.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
There's right. also multiple of them, so there's like a bunch of...
Right, there's so many Noahs. How could they hog the spotlight?
Yeah.
There's 50 at the table. Of course they're going to hog the spotlight. The spotlight is divided amongst 50 Noahs. 50 Noahs?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow. It's hard what not a cast. To hog the spotlight when there's... Right. 50 of you.
But I feel like I trust Noah's if they took that kind of seriously.
Yeah.
Then I would assume that that type of person is not being such a ham at the table that nobody else can get a word in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also just really like it when there's like clearly like two people on either side of the courtroom. And then the judge just hands down a verdict to like a random other person that's also there that said right. something kind of snippy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are we, whose side are we on?
Sidebar
here?
Should have talked to the DM if yeah. they were unsatisfied.
Yeah.
It's also one. I mean, if somebody does something session, that you're actually yeah. uncomfortable with or something, mm-hmm. of course, speak up right away. But the idea of like walking up to somebody being like, you're being kind of a ham.
Yeah.
After playing for 1 hour.
We're siding with Noah's and ultimately with Crash because Crash is on Noah's side.
If Noah's plural, all the Noahs who typed in unison. If they had been asking, like, if the Noahs had been asking, should I have tackled my brother and made him be in the session? Like, the answer right. would probably be like, no, you shouldn't have
yeah.
done
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right?
You should have let him go.
But that's not your question.
Yes. Yeah, your question was, should I have been sidebarred with after one game?
I don't think you deserve the sidebar. Yeah.
No. And I do think that sidebar should have to DM for Gabriel and Crash.
Whoa. I mean, that's an honor.
That's a tough table.
You'll come to learn.
Sidebar Gabriel and Crash
and dog.
Oh, dog's got to be at the table, yeah.
Yeah, dog's coming in.
Dog's coming in.
Unprepped and unfiltered.
Dog's coming in to ride everyone.
Hey, man, I lost my character sheet. Hope that's okay. No.
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 Hey, dog, there's kind of this tense situation with these brothers and this other person that sidebars with people after somebody talks a little bit
We're
too much at the table.
We're thinking PvP could be fun. Plan a zinger.
Yes.
Do you think you can kind of balance out the table and maybe take a little of the heat off?
Don't worry. I got this. No. No. Okay.
Oh, that's our dog.
All right. Yeah.
So ordered.
We're on your side, unfortunately. Because you guys do sound like a couple of pieces of work.
Yeah. Okay. So that just about does it for cases. Let's don our Dice Deacon hats and step into the confession booth.
I'm going to put mine on backwards.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I never took mine off.
Wow. And it is soaking wet.
Much in the tradition of Swedish Christmas, I do have a wreath at the base of mine with candles lit. Wow. So we need to be quick about this because it's going to catch my hat on fire.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great.
Cody D. writes, Dear Honorable Disciples of Dice Christ and Jake, I thought I was elevated in the church. Whatever. It's fine.
In the church,
I come to you with a group confessional about a dice roll and a dog. Wow, another dog. Our party got ourselves in a bad situation surrounded by Yuan Ti demigods where we were surely going to be TPK'd or at least captured.
It's the dog days of summer. Sorry, I just caught that. And then, okay, bye. I'm going to leave now.
Emily's gone.
Emily, no.
No.
Peeled out your Corolla.
Yeah. Her Jankos got stuck in the wall.
She fell out. She's rolling around in her underwear. The car is still going. She put it in neutral.
She's doing donuts on her Jankos.
She's being dragged behind it, going very slowly.
Okay. It looks like it's rolling up onto the curb.
Okay. Yep.
Oh, good she's going to ding it for sure.
Oh, it's dinged. It's done. Okay. So one player had an important dice roll that would likely determine the outcome of the situation for better or worse.
Whoa.
So we decided to use the big solid plastic dice and roll it on the floor for dramatic effect.
Oh, you gotta.
Yeah. Oh.
The dice was rolled, and immediately as it landed on what was clearly a bad roll, my dog quickly snatched it off the ground with the most hilarious teeth on plastic clonk sound and threw it up in the air, and this time it landed on a nat 20.
Oh.
We decided to take the nat 20 and went on to survive and succeed in escaping. I ask you, did we commit sin in the eyes of Dice Christ?
No.
That dog?
Dice Christ has many agents, and most of them are dogs.
That dog was Dice Christ.
They did ask, they said, did we witness a miracle of Dice Christ performed through my dog?
Yes. Wow. Dice Christ has inhabited your dog.
Possessed
your dog.
Witness. Bring your dog to us.
If you flip around the letters in dog, it spells OGD, which is, oh, geez, that dog has saved us all.
Whoa.
That is so true.
Yeah. Just, I felt like inspired by the spirit.
That's amazing.
Say that.
So, wow. Yeah, I think...
dog is Dice Christ.
Yeah. That dog is Dice Christ. That dog is OGD.
OGD.
And I feel like I might have slightly doubted that story if it weren't for the detail about it clanking
the clonk.
Clonk onto the dice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
I believe... I'm picturing like a real like rat terrier-sized dog.
Yeah.
Just like real toothy dog.
Dice Christ is real, and so is your dog.
Yep. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give your dog a hamburger for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's no sins to confess, but there is gratitude to profess.
Ooh, wow.
Well, your dog is Dice Christ, so show deference to your dog.
Yeah. Golly doggy.
Yeah, I think that you do have to profess your gratitude by giving your dog a bunch of really good treats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And teach it to say no.
No. Yeah, this is a confession in that you just got to tell us some cool ass shit. Yeah. You don't have anything to actually confess. That's awesome. Could you imagine the opposite if you guys rolled like a 5 and then a cat came over and swatted it and you got a nat 20 and I was like, no. No.
If the cat intervened like out of nowhere and just knocked it to a nat 20, absolutely we would take the cat roll.
Normally when we're recording, like we make sure that the cats aren't in the room, but if one of them like got in here and was
like
patient,
we didn't even know.
Yeah, if like Grizz bid his time, and then I rolled a nat 20 and Grizz batted it and it turned into a nat 1, like
we would keep I would accept it. Then I'm like, we would take
that's
the 20
tough.
I
wouldn't. I would hand down Grizz's blessing.
Well, that's the Dice Devil.
Right.
Yeah.
And Grizz would be an agent of the Dice Devil.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to worry about that. Thank you all so much for listening.
Yes.
Why don't we plug some stuff?
Oh.
I will be doing bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't even do it. Don't even do it. Don't even think about it.
Fine.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
I actually have a show next week in Montreal.
Wow.
With Amir.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing NADPOD without us?
Yeah, me and Hugo doing a one shot.
Wow.
Jake,
you're DMing
who's
for Hugo?
DM? Is
you guys?
We got this guy dog to come in.
Shit.
Me and Amir are doing
the
classic podcast. He said he didn't have to prepare because that's what dog would do.
Doggy style.
There are tickets for it at jakeandamir.com. So come around.
Awesome.
Sweet. Cool. I would love to plug two things. Number one, I want to plug the first 30 chapters of One Piece.
Mm.
Because that's all I've read of it, and I really enjoyed it thus far. So great. Check it out.
Sick.
So if it goes to shit in 31, don't come to Caldwell.
Mm-hmm. That's true. If chapters 31 through 1047 are bad, don't talk to me about it, because I'm not there yet.
He doesn't know.
I'm not there yet. If Oda-san's work falls apart, just talk to him about it. But anyway, all
don't spoil it for Caldwell the way he spoils Frozen for you.
But I also would like to spoil some of the things that were sent to us at our P.O. box.
Because we're spoiled.
Spoil me.
Mm. So we got some beautiful treats. Eleanor sent us a sapphire dice inspired by Emily's Riverboat Shanty song.
Oh my God, I'm holding it right now. It's so majestic.
Yeah, ooh. It sparkles like the river does.
Yes, that's it's awesome. Beautiful. And then it has a little slip of paper with the lyrics that say, "Let the river flow."
What? That's sick.
What a tribute.
Look at it, Jake.
Oh, check it out.
God, that's awesome. Very cute.
Real time Jake reaction.
Holy shit.
Jake seems underwhelmed, honestly.
This is real.
I could do this.
Wow.
I have an idea for dice too. This is amazing. Good work.
Kelly sent us copies of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings featuring the weird realistic paintings of all the characters.
Oh,
they're really great. I have them on my bookshelf and I look at them a lot. The one of Gimli and Legolas is incredible. Kelly also sent us a heartfelt note, which includes a passage about a D&D game they ran for their nieces. Oh. In the game, the nieces all played as gummy bears who had to fight a vegetable dragon that breathed ranch dressing instead of fire.
Whoa.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. We are the gummy bears.
I watched that show too.
Come on, Jake.
I couldn't have called up the song though.
Magic and mystery are part of their history, along with the secrets of gummy berry
there
juice.
There was some Canadian band I used to listen to that did a version of that song, and that's the only reason. I actually don't even know that I've seen the TV show.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
It. Yeah, I love it.
It's classic.
All through the forest, they sing out in chorus.
Holy shit. That's all we're going to stop recording, and you're going to sing the whole thing for me. I'm going to make Murph ride home with me. As I drive, just to hear that. I did want to say, Kelly sent us like just an incredibly nice note. So I just want to say thank you so much for listening to the show, Kelly. We are honored to know we could be with you during some painful times that you had. Please know that your kind words help keep the passion in our hearts burning, and we deeply appreciate you writing in. I want to end on that one because, Kelly, we really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kelly.
And thanks to everyone that listens for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you to everybody who listened to the show. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at @CHMurphsMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Eaxford's Emily, and at JKerwitz is Jake.
And at NadPod is the show on Instagram.
Which you should follow because that's a good place
to
stay up to
date. That's where you find out about our shows.
Uh-huh. On the show.
We're posting the
dates. Because we always run into people in these cities that we visit, and they're like, I didn't know you had a show.
Yeah, I love NadPod. Why are you here in Dublin.
Follow us on Instagram and come to the show.
Yes.
Good advice.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NEDDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
Dancing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond the bear. We are the gummy bears.
It's the end of our episode, which means it's once again time to shout out our benevolent, fantastic, superfluous Council of Elders. Let's get right to it! Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Daniel G., Dylan B., who's missing his own D&D game to see NADPOD live in LA. Thank you again for coming, Dylan B. Hope you had a great time. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Miss Tare Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P., Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Ferdwin, TJ M., Treylay the Cray, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, An Awakened Maxim with January Jones on the cover, Yowza, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat,
Adam G, Tyler F, Panama James, Andrew, who is no longer a bard after the incident in the Feywild. You gotta tell us more, Andrew. I need to know. Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the rabbit folk detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag Rise My Comrades, spread the camaraderie. It's a bad cause, but you gotta love the energy. New York, Taylor B, the vengeful one-winged angel. Cass, skateboard, Cass. Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave, the Badger, Esme M, Mutton, the mad druid who has been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorph sheep for 3 weeks. Ugh, the count keeps growing. Come on, Mutton, you can do this. Foster, the original boneless duck. Aaron, the asshole ranger. Big Bad Beardo the Mad. Eric McD, giant monsters on the horizon. Percival, Frederickstein, von Musel, Klasowski, De Rolo III. Christian A, J, Dragonborn. Joe Rowe, the Inapropro. Liam D, the Sandrayan. Ben A, Feldonis. John the Third. Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear. Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F, Wood Elf Theron, who is desperately trying to fix his oath bow. Good luck, Theron. Blair, the Bug Blair Blarblarian. Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Ariel, the occasional mermaid. Selena N, aka Velaciraptor. Minette is evolving into Gyarados. Oh my god, we are all gonna die! Unless we catch you, haha. Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Joshua D, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, the Charming Fluff. Robot Crisp. Telekitty Creations, fan illustrator, insert request here. Wow, you know what? This is controversial, but I would love if you could draw the raccoonicorns. Seems cute. Bloops, Carly Ann, Addy K, AP Cleric, Lori P, those who love and give where they can. Spam Gaming, the Tatted Sailor, Grant L, Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot. How do you get a D&D player to go out with you? You ask them for a D8. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Kai, the Ham Sandwich, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert Grillionaire, leader of the Mishima Clan, a spoon among raspberries. Oh, deep cuts all around. I love it. Pendergreens, Penis Colada. If you like Penis Colada. Moving on. Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner. Ah, can't wait to meet. Champ Wild, Valen, Beep, Barbarian Bastard Baby of Brian and Brennan. Carlin C, Louie is your centaur dad. Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah, the bagel of all things. Justin LeBee, Torley Skirmisher, Levi Little. Pendergreens, Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag Slangin' Rope. Dandy, Tunnel Monster Collective, Bunny, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Learns, the Balanced Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos, self-proclaimed Fey Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzed, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, Leia C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, Beatrix's Beautiful Baby Batter, haha, Pixel Stars, Akash T, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Zero Parody, Neos, the Novice Monster Hunter, my new friend Simon. He was sad an old friend had forgotten him, but we cheered ourselves up by singing One Big Bed together. Lorelei Frost, Morgan M, appealing sticker, Stephen E, Mr. Adams, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, hi man, yeah, that's me, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormborn. Hope that clears up soon. Andrew B., Copefresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd, Eric M., Mr. D., Sean J., Mr. Sillyhead, Ethan B., Monster Captain Renee S., Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia, the enchanting bard, who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team's tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Sounds great, I gotta check it out. Blue Slay the Artificer, Michaela R., Riley S., Sir Sig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, The Game Itself, Chaos Camp, aka I Am a Smapfire, Tony G., Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC Forever, Sorry Jake, what about Sorry Caldwell? I feel like I should be apologized to as well. Josh H., Jack the Jack's Jinxing Rogue, In Search of Bohemia's Biggest Balls, Sammy underscore the underscore Neko, Mango Empanadas, Cora B., Timidar, who is now the coolest person in the Stormcrow clan, in your face, Mako, Rented Mules, Mystical Musteloidia, and Trogdor the Burninator. Trogdor! Whew! And that is all of our shoutouts. And thank you so, so much for your unwavering, undying, unflagging support. It truly buoys me, and I stay afloat thanks to you. If you would like to join the Council of Elders, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. And that is it for this week. Thanks so much, friends. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.